Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm into my third week. We're nearly at the end of the third week of teaching on financial stewardship, and I've already covered a lot of material. I've talked about how that this is the least use of our faith, is trusting God in this area of finances. There are some people who think that this is for the super saints, for those who want to be the great mature Christians. But Jesus said in Luke 16:10 that this is baby stuff. If you aren't faithful in trusting God in this area of finances, you won't be counted faithful in any other area. We've talked about how that you have to put first the kingdom of God. We used this parable of the unjust steward and talked about how that he had just been using money for temporary things. And finally, he was forced to use his position and the power that money gave him to influence his future. And Jesus said that this is what we should do. We should use money, something that is perishable, to do something that can never perish. And that is change people's lives. And when you do this, you will literally have people lined up to welcome you into heaven and thank you for the way that your gifts have changed their life. Boy, these are powerful things that we've talked about. If you've missed any of this, I encourage you to please get the materials that we've been offering, and they'll be a real help to you. Today, what I want to begin to do is to start teaching on that prosperity, true prosperity, the way that the Bible teaches it, isn't selfish. Now, I think that this is very important because, again, I've taught on prosperity for many, many years. And every time you do this, as a minister, especially a television minister, there is criticism. And people think that you're just after their money and they see it as selfish. And I have to say that a lot of the way that prosperity teaching is presented, it is selfish. It's all about you do this, you give, and God's going to give back to you, and you can get a bigger house and a bigger car and bigger all these things. Again, God is not against any person having very nice things. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that this motivation behind what you do is more important than what you do. It says this over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. It says, if I give all of my goods to feed the poor, or if I give my body to be burned and don't do it motivated by charity, God's kind of love, it profits me nothing. That is saying that the motive behind your gift is more important than your gift. If you are giving just so that you can get. Now, again, there's a balance here because God so loved the world that He gave, and He wanted to get back all of us as His sons and daughters. Giving and receiving. Receiving is a part of this whole thing. It's like a cycle. I'm not saying that you don't believe in a return, but you shouldn't be giving out of a selfish motivation. You should give out of a pure heart where truly it is more blessed to give than to receive. You are loving people, and you want to be a blessing to people. And you understand that when you give, it is going to be multiplied back to you. So you do receive and you believe for the return, but it's so that you can be a bigger blessing. But there are often times that ministers present this as you give and you're going to get back all of this. And so people give out of a totally selfish motivation. In a sense, it's like a slot machine where you're going to give your money and pull a handle and man, God's going to come out. You're going to hit the jackpot. You know what? It is true that God gives you a hundredfold return, but it is not about you just getting. And if you have that selfish motivation as the reason behind your giving, then it voids the whole thing. Again, I refer back to 1 Corinthians 13:3. If you give all of your goods to feed the poor, or if you give your body to be burned, make the ultimate sacrifice, and don't do it motivated by God's kind of love, it profits you nothing. It may profit the church or the minister or whoever that you give it to, but it is not going to come back to you. If all that there is or was, if all there was to prosperity is give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Luke 6:38. If that's all that there is, just like you put your coin in, pull the lever, and God comes out. If that's all that there was to it, then probably every person watching this program would be a multimillionaire. There are some of you that have given hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars, and if you had a hundredfold return on every penny that you've given, you would be rich. Filthy, stinking rich. And yet it doesn't work that way with every person because the motive behind your gift can totally void it so that it profits you nothing. And let me just say, I mentioned this earlier, but I saw a fundraiser on one of the Christian networks recently where the whole motivation was totally carnal. It was totally, you give this $1,000 and you're going to get this and God is going to do this. And it was all selfish. And again, there is a truth that you are going to receive 100-fold in this life. I'm not saying that we ignore that or say that it doesn't exist. But I am saying that there is a way to play on that so that you just manipulate people to into giving for just nothing but carnal, selfish motivation, and that's wrong. If you go into true prosperity and look at it from the Word of God standpoint, it is not about you. It is not selfish. Now, it is true that God will take care of you, and you'll be better off after giving than if you kept the whole thing. It's true. I believe that. I do believe in a hundredfold return in this life, Mark chapter 10. But you know what? That's not the motive. The motive is I give because I love God. And He's done everything for me, so I want to bless Him back. I want to give. And I want to be like my Father. He so loved the world that He gave. Man, I love Him. I love people. And so I give because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I give because I love God. I give because I love people. And it blesses people. And so I give for those reasons. Understanding that I am going to receive 100-fold in this life and that that is going to enable me to bless even more people. So I believe and receive for the return, but I don't give with a selfish motivation. You know, let me give you some scriptures that just say this. If you believe the Bible, this should answer these questions for you. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, and again, I wish I had time to put this in its proper context, but just real quickly, this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel right before they entered into the promised land, and he was warning them about serving God and staying true to their commitment to Him. And he said, you're going to enter into houses that you didn't build. And they're houses that giants built. So they're going to be huge houses, very prosperous, very spacious. He says, you're going to have these mansions that these giants built. You're going to enter into their fields that they're the ones that cultivated them, took the rocks out, planted the seeds and grew the trees, and they've pruned them, and they've all of these things. You're going to enter into their labors. You're going to have all of this abundance come on you. And when it happens, don't think that it is because of your goodness and your greatness that all this happened. It's because of the favor of God. That's the context of it. And so he says in verse 18, he says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. He says, don't forget that it's God who gave you all of this, that God brought you into this promised land. In our situation, you need to remember that it's God who has blessed you. It's God who has given you your talents and your ability, your health. It's God that caused you to be born at this time in history. It's God that caused you to be born in some of the most prosperous nations that have ever existed on the face of the earth. It's God who gives you all of these things. God is your source. And why does He do it? He gives you the power to get wealth. He doesn't give you wealth directly. He doesn't just give you money, but He gives you this ability, this power, these talents. And as you use them, then it comes back unto you in wealth. And why did He do it? That He might establish His covenant. The reason God really has given you this power and ability is so that He can use you to be a blessing. Or as He said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, He says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God said, I am going to use you to be a blessing. In the next verse, it says, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed because of you. Did you know for a person to be able to bless all nations of the earth, then you have to be blessed yourself? So the reason God gives you wealth, the reason God blesses you is so that He can make you a blessing. If you understand that, then it's not. Prosperity isn't about you having a bigger house and a bigger car and planes and all of these kind of things. And I'm not against any of that stuff. I've got a house. I've got cars. I don't have a plane, but I've got all those other things. I'm not against people that have planes and stuff. That is not the issue. But I'm saying that the reason that prosperity comes isn't just so that you can have more toys than everybody else. It's so that you can be a blessing. And if a person has the right attitude, if their heart is right in this, and if they are living to give and letting that money flow through, God doesn't care what you have. He doesn't care how much you have. It's just as long as your heart is in this motive, you want to be a blessing. You know, there's a friend of mine who is a minister, and this guy believes in prosperity, and he often gets criticized because of the level of his prosperity. And I haven't been to his home in, I don't know, nearly 10 years, so I honestly don't know where he lives now. But say 10 years ago, he was living in a house that was probably close to $500,000-$600,000. And he drove a Corvette. My wife got in and drove it. It has two ignitions, one for normal driving and then a second ignition when you turn on the extra deal. That thing, it was fancy. It was, I don't know, it's probably a $100,000-plus Corvette that this pastor drove. And people criticize this pastor because you have this fancy car, because you live in a very nice house. And people criticized him. But you know what? He was a giver. This guy gave away at this time. This has been probably a decade or more ago. A decade ago, he gave away between $30,000 and $40,000 every month. I was at his house one time. I ministered at his church, and he gave me a 20-something thousand-dollar offering for ministering at his church. A friend of mine was at that house. He gave him his car, which was about $35,000. He'd had it 1 month, and he just gave him the car that same day. And then a missionary came through that same day, and he gave him $12,000. So counting what he gave me at least 20, with me and this other missionary, at least 25, that'd be 35-something thousand dollars. The car was probably worth $35,000. He gave away the $70,000 in 1 day that I was with him. And see, people sit there and say, but you drive this Corvette. What they don't know, I was also at his house, that because he's a giver, did you know God just blessed him back? And I was there the day that a truck drove up and they unloaded that Corvette. And somebody gave it to him anonymously and paid 6 months worth of his insurance on it, because the insurance on that Corvette was like $6,000 a year. They paid 6 months of the insurance and gave him the Corvette free. Did you know it was actually cheaper for him to drive that fancy $100,000 plus Corvette that was given to him than if he had gone out and bought some kind of a economy car to make himself look poor and stuff? See, God doesn't care if you drive a Corvette. He doesn't care if you live in a fancy house. It depends on whether your heart is to give. Here's another way of looking at it. This man lived in a house that equaled about 1 year's worth of his giving. Now think about that. How many of you who would criticize a pastor who lives in, say, a $600,000 house, how many of you would criticize him for that? And yet, how many of you live in a house that equals about 1 year's worth of your giving? I guarantee you, if many of you lived in a house that was the price of 1 year's worth of the amount of money you've given away, some of you'd be living in a quart cardboard box, and some of you'd be living in a tent someplace. See, God doesn't care about what you live in. It's all about this heart issue. And this man's heart was to give. And when you have a heart to give, you start sowing. There's just these laws that you're going to reap. People are going to give you cars. You're going to get deals on your houses. You're going to be blessed. And God doesn't care about you having things. It's all about this heart issue. And this man that I was using an example of, is actually living more frugally in God's way of seeing it than people who are driving an old beat-up car or having to walk or ride a bicycle. Because you know what? He's sowing and he's giving. And it's just the natural results of the blessings of God coming back on him. Don't ever criticize another man's harvest until you see how much seed he's planted. See, this is wrong for you to look at a person and say, well, I had a guy just recently get on our website and say something. I forgot the exact wording, but it was something like that you shouldn't need more than $20,000 a year. That's the poverty level, and that's where all preachers should be living, and he was very critical of it. You know, you can't criticize what God is giving me until you see how much seed I've planted. You can't just look at a person's harvest and say, this is too much harvest. That's communism, to where you just want to make everybody the same. No, if I've planted more, if I've been giving and I've been trusting God, I am going to have a supernatural harvest come back off of my seeds. So you can't really just look at a person's level of prosperity and what they're doing and be critical of them until you see how much seed they've got in the ground. And likewise, some of you that are thinking, well, I ought to have everything that you've got. Well, have you been giving? Have you been planting seed? Man, this is some powerful things that I'm saying right here. But I'm saying that if you understand this properly, the reason God gives you power to get wealth is so that you can establish His covenant. And here's the way I believe God looks at it. When He finds somebody who He can trust, that if I give you money, you are going to honor me. You are going to give. And He doesn't mind us eating a portion of it. He knows that even givers have to eat. And so He'll let you take care of yourself. But if He knows that you are going to give a large portion of everything He gives you to the kingdom, that you're going to use your money to establish His covenant here on this earth, when God finds somebody like that, if He can get the money through you, He will get it to you. God will cause a supernatural flow of finances to come to you if you won't dam it up and make a reservoir and try and hold it all. If you will keep it open-ended like a river and just let it flow through you, He will flow volumes of finances through you if He can get it through you. And here's the good news. You got two hands. There's one hand to receive and one hand to give. And as the money flows through, there's plenty for you. God will just take care of you if you get this right attitude. If you start wanting to prosper so that you can be a blessing, not so that you can be blessed. You understand that you have to be blessed before you can be a blessing, but the real emphasis is on not giving to get, but you give and get so that you can give. The emphasis is always on the giving. If you can keep your heart pure in this area, God, if He can get the money through you, will get it to you. Boy, those are powerful things that I've said. And again, this is a hard attitude. You know, there are people watching this program who say, oh, well, that's my attitude. I mean, I live to give. That's why I want to prosper. You know what? Talk is cheap. I could look at your finances right now and tell you whether your heart is right. Because you know what? If your heart is right, I don't care if you're struggling right now, you'll still be honoring God. I have people come to me all the time and they hear me preach on this and, oh, this is my heart. This is the way it is. But I just don't have anything to give right now. The people who are saying that may have $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 a month income, and yet they just don't have anything to give. No, what you mean is you're using it all for yourself. You are hocked up to your ears and you've got rent and all of these other things. And, you know, we just recently got through with the Super Bowl. And I can guarantee you that the cheapest seat in that stadium was $1,000. And some of them were going for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for a seat to watch a football game. And I can guarantee you there were some poor people there who talked about that they just didn't have anything. Then many of them were believers who were talking about, I just don't have anything to give to God. But they could come up with $1,500 or $2,000. They even closed down a Walmart that was close and sold tickets for people to stand in the Walmart parking lot and watch the big screen outside of the stadium. And those were $200 and $300 to stand in the cold outside and watch the football game on this huge screen. And many of those people would talk about how that they're poor. I tell you what, you can say what you want to, but a person who say, well, I just don't have anything to give God, and yet you've got $1,000 or $2,000 flowing through your hands every month, you're just deceived. You may be deceived, but you aren't going to deceive me. It doesn't matter if you have $10. You've got a tithe, $1. You can give. You could put God first. And the person who says, oh, but that's my attitude. I want to really give after I take care of all of my Super Bowl stuff, after I do all of this stuff, after I have all of these games on my stuff, after I have the newest, best smartphone, and you've already got one that works just great, but the newest one comes out, and so you take this thing and just junk it and go spend an extra $400 or $500, but you don't have anything to give for the Lord. I tell you what, that's just, you're deceived. You are not putting first the kingdom of God. And again, God doesn't mind you having any of these things that I've talked about. It's not that God wants us to do without this. It's all about where your heart is. And if you are truly putting God first, you can't outgive God. There's nothing wrong with you having the newest, best anything. There's nothing wrong with you living in a $1 million home. If your heart is to really put God first, you start sowing seed. You can't help but reap back. I'm not begrudging anybody anything that they've got. You can have 4 or 5 jets if you want to, as long as you're putting God first. But a person who says, oh, well, that's my attitude, but I just don't have anything. I've had so many people tell me that. I go back, they tell me, when I get $1 million, I'm going to give to you. And I go back and look at their giving record, and they've never given a thing. They've taken everything we've offered them free of charge. They've never given us a penny, but they're going to give me $1 million when they get it. If you aren't faithful with what you have right now, you won't be faithful when you get more. Amen. That's tight, but it's right. I know some of you are offended, but the Scripture says in Galatians 4, I think it's 16, it says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm saying these things to help you. It's easy to say, oh, your heart is just to bless people and you want to prosper so that you can give. If that's really your heart, prove it with your actions. Start giving. Start putting the kingdom of God first. And if you'll do that, you'll find out one hand to receive, one hand to give. As the money flows through, there's plenty for you. If you will put first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these things will be added unto you. It's absolutely true. It takes an anointing from God to be able to receive what I'm saying, because this doesn't make sense to your natural mind. But it's absolutely true. I've proven it. It will work for you. But your attitude is more important than anything else. The motive behind your gift is more important than your giving. So this is what I'm beginning to minister on right now, is that true prosperity isn't selfish. If the reason you're wanting to prosper, if the reason you're giving is so that you can just get, then your heart's not right and it'll profit you nothing. You need to continue to listen in as I continue to go through this. I think it'll help you tremendously. Again, I'd like to encourage you to please get the materials. I've got this CD set on prosperity. And I've also got it in a DVD form. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information, and call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Prosperity Isn't Selfish, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
God's basically spoken to my heart and bringing me to CBC. And me getting a hold of the message of grace and God's unconditional love has totally changed my life, my family, how I view God, how I see God, and just give me an overall better perspective on life, and it's really produced freedom.
We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders Program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 27th through the 30th and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship Conference June 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference July 4th through the 8th and in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 4th through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
For 8 years, Richard Anthony Waller struggled with debilitating and life-threatening health issues.
I was regularly walking on crutches. I was taking a lot of painkillers, and I was in a pretty bad way. And Charlie prayed his prayer, and I walked away, and I still felt the pain, but I knew and I believed that I was healed.
Today, he's totally and completely healed.
I'm healed. That's it. I'm healed. Everything. I'm healed. Everything. Everything is healed.
Check out his story today. Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.